sleep all around the world. Take your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's the way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd Up!
And welcome to another Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with...
Isaac Wilson.
And we're here to talk nerdy with you. Actually, we're going to mainly talk about a couple of movies. We just recently saw two movies. One of them was a limited release, and the other one was one that... no one in the world has been excited about. First, we'll talk about the limited release. I'm going to let Isaac pretty much take the reins for that. I will put in my input. But being a fan of Dragon Ball Z, he has more input to give than I do. But yeah, what was the name of the movie again?
We went and saw Dragon Ball Z, Resurrection F.
And the F stands for Frieza, I imagine.
Frieza, yeah.
Or Frieza? Frieza? Yeah. Frieza is like a drink or something.
His entire family is based on puns. His dad is King Cold. He's Frieza. His brother is Cooler. I wish I was kidding about that.
Oh, it's amazing what they come up with in Dragon Ball Z. But first, let me give you a little information about it. We had to go we had to drive 2 hours to go see this movie. And mainly because it was a limited release. We had to go to Indianapolis to see it, and I don't know why they do those movies on limited release, but we had to go to a more expensive theater out of our comfort zone. Now, I will admit, it was kind of cool because this being the big, huge theater, what, it was a 40-foot screen?
Yeah.
Holy cow. And it's held like 1,000 people. Okay, maybe not that many, but a lot. I don't know. Popcorn and soda for both of us was like $20.
But it was huge.
Yeah, true. But still, oh my gosh. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I prefer the comfort of our little hometown Eagle Theater, but we'll talk about that one later on when we talk about the other movie. But Isaac's going to give you the rundown of the movie, but I'll tell you in general what I thought. I actually thought, we saw it last year at the same time, the same date anyway.
Yeah.
We saw the other Dragon Ball Z movie.
Battle of Gods.
Battle of Gods. And I will tell you, this one was way better than Battle of Gods. Battle of Gods, for me, being a non-fan, was actually quite boring, and it just seemed too silly. Just seemed way too silly. But the events that happened in that kind of led to what was going on in this one. So I thought that was kind of an interesting time, so I'm glad I saw it. But this one, it had a lot more action in it. The graphics were really cool. Again, being a movie instead of just the TV series, they actually got to create more art behind the scenes. And the CGI scenes and everything else were really nicely done. But again, it's a Dragon Ball Z movie. It's got a bunch of silliness in it as well. But yeah, you know, it was better than the last one. So maybe if they keep getting better, eventually they'll have one. Are they going to ever do a live-action Dragon Ball Z?
They probably have. They probably got like some kind of musical on it or something.
That'd be weird. But anyway,
I'd be willing to bet that's probably the case in Japan.
So anyway, like I said, I was mildly entertained by it. It was the nerd in me enjoyed the anime and the whole unrealistic battle scenes and stuff like that. Not being a fan, it wasn't that big of a deal for me, but I did enjoy myself more than last time. So take it away. Give us a synopsis and then tell us what you think.
The movie starts out with, let's see, what was it? Sorbet and Tagoma, also food puns.
Mm.
Every minion under Frieza has a food pun name, like Apool, Nabana, Raspberry. He's lame. It starts out with them... Or no, the movie actually starts out with Frieza in hell, but it starts out really weird because it's all these happy little chiming fairies and little animals dancing around, and then
teddy bears. It almost looks like a Disney production at the beginning.
And then there's a little cocoon hanging from a tree, and the cocoon turns around, and it's revealed to be Frieza, and he is just hating it because he's like an evil lord of the cosmos. Anyway, whenever it picks up, Tagoma and Sorbet, two of Frieza's highest minions, and they're currently taking his place, they're trying to find the Namekians, but they cannot because Frieza blew up that planet and it was revived in a completely different place. But that's in the original series. That's not part of this. That's that's just something I know. But they go to Earth for the Dragon Balls. And the fans of the original Dragon Ball series will recognize Garlic. I think it's Garlic Jr. I don't remember. There's my Garlic Jr. and then the dog. I forget his name. I think it's Sho? It's something like that. And they've already got 6 of the 7 Dragon Balls because they've got a little Dragon Ball radar. And what they do is they, Tagoma and Sorbet make them get the 7 Dragon Balls and make them summon Shenron so he can revive Frieza, etc. What happens is that they revive Frieza, but in the original series, his last death was being diced up by Trunks, like with his sword, and then blasted into oblivion. Shenron recommends against reviving Frieza because he's in many pieces, but they do it anyway because they've got advanced healing tech. Yada, yada, yada. Stuff happens. Frieza trains. The other characters are introduced again. And then they introduce a new character that hasn't been in any of the other movies or series.
And this character I really like. He was kind of fun. I think I said it earlier after we got out of the movie. He's like the Deadpool of the Dragon Ball Z world.
His name is Jaco, the intergalactic patrolman, who's part of a, like, I just now remembered this because yesterday there was an episode, but kind of like the, what are they called? The Jadoon of Doctor Who. They're like the space police.
The space cops, space police, yeah.
Yeah. So he comes to Earth because he needs to tell Bulma, who's sisters to one of his best friends. What's her name? Tights. Her entire family is named after underwear. He comes to tell Bulma to get Goku and Trunks because he thinks it was future Trunks that killed Frieza last time, but now little Trunks is grown up. Timelines.
Wibbly wobbly.
So he comes to get Bulma, and he tells her that they need to get Goku because Frieza's coming back and he's stronger than ever. Yada, yada, yada. Bulma tries to get Whis to come to Earth by offering him like a strawberry. What was it?
Strawberry Sundae or
yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the best part, I think. Well, okay, how long do we have? An hour.
And then Bulma freaks out because that's whenever they finally are against Frieza. They take out like all 1,000 of his minions, the other Z Fighters, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Bulma is yelling because she's that like angry housewife. So in that time,
she
Goku...
She should be in the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Real Housewives of Earth. Real Housewives of Z Fighters. So Goku has to use instant transmission, go to Earth, and basically protect everybody because Frieza's way too powerful. That's where it all turns into fighting from there. There's
And just constant battle.
Yeah.
And I like that Goku and Vegeta are training with the...
Whis.
What was the other...
Beerus.
What?
Beerus.
Beerus, yeah.
They're alcohol name puns.
Yeah.
Whiskey and Beerus.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
This entire thing is food puns.
But, yeah, they're training on Beerus's planet or location.
It's his, like, little homeworld where he takes his naps.
Yeah. Yeah, forever. But anyway, yeah, Whis is training them. Throughout the whole show, there's the theme that Whis keeps saying over and over again, is it that only learn to fight together rather than each other. And I was like, I kept expecting at the end that they'd team up, but they just never did.
That's because their Saiyans, their pride gets in their way.
I guess. So.
That's what's with the race.
There's more time travel involved. But it looks like it's good. I mean, like I said, it was a lot more entertaining this time around.
There was a lot more fighting in this one.
Yeah.
Like, at the second half of the movie, it's basically all fighting from there, because then... You know, you start with all of Frieza's minions, and then all of, like, Piccolo, Tien, Gohan, and Krillin. They all fight all of the minions. And Roshi. Roshi fights again. The old guy that never fights in any of the other series except the original Dragon Ball.
That was just weird. Some old guy with a cane, all of a sudden, boom, he's got muscles.
Well, in the original Dragon Ball series, that's how, like, Buffy was. He was the one that invented the Kamehameha, not Goku.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, that makes sense. Kamehameha. It's fun. I mean, it's very silly stuff. It was entertaining. Being a non-Dragon Ball Z fan, I don't think I would have gone if you hadn't drugged me there. Kicking and screaming. Yeah. I still had fun. I laughed a lot. I mean, there were some very funny scenes.
There was just a scene, I think my favorite, like, humorous scene is whenever... So one of Frieza's minions lands a hit on Jaco's back, so he does like a little sliding agent, like the Matrix, whenever they do the jump and then shoot side.
But he does it in a circle.
Yeah, he does it in a circle, and then he shoots at all their feet, And then he does, like, a Power Rangers pose, and then they all fall to the ground.
He goes, pow. Yeah, and then they all fall. And so it's really cool, yeah. And I was hoping you weren't going to say that, because that was one of my favorite scenes, is that was the most humorous scene.
Well,
in there.
I was going to say something else, is whenever Roshi, like, realizes that it's only Frieza left, and so what he does is, from being his buff self, he just, like, shrinks back to normal.
Yeah.
That and then runs away.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So, I think knowing the series, that would have been even funnier for me, but it was just funny as a visual. Anyway, so yeah, Dragon Ball Z, Resurrection F. Again, if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, definitely go see it, but there's a limited engagement, so it's actually only a few more days. By the time the podcast gets up, you may even only have a day left, but it's going to be coming out.
It ends August 12th.
Okay, so it will be coming out on DVD or something.
Yeah, because I think Battle of Gods is on DVD somewhere right now, but... Even if you're not a fan of Dragon Ball Z, if, like, one of your friends is trying to bring you and drag you along, go ahead and go with them, because it's worth it.
Yeah, I'll vouch for that. I'll say that. Because, yeah, even though Isaac drugged me there, I still had a good time. And being, of course, you got to be a little bit nerdy to do it. You got to enjoy the anime stuff. You got to enjoy, the nerdy things in life. And that's what, if you're listening to this podcast, then definitely you do.
And there is a post-credit scene, just for a reminder.
Unlike the other movie we saw, but before we talk, let's talk about the other movie. Anything else you had to say about the Dragon Ball Z?
Not really. It's just a good Dragon Ball Z movie. Oh, there's only been a few canonical movies. These two are the two that we saw: Battle Gods and Resurrection F. I think those are two out of maybe five canon Dragon Ball Z movies, and
so the rest are just on the side.
Yeah, the rest weren't developed by Akira Toriyama.
Oh. Okay, building on this, if I hadn't seen the last one, whenever Whis and Beerus were in there, I would have completely not known what was going on.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, what, I don't understand it.
I wouldn't,
because they never explained it either.
Yeah,
you had to know it.
I wouldn't have quite understood, but I would have I probably would have if I missed Battle of Gods, I probably would have gone on the Wikipedia and seen who they were, but I wouldn't have completely understand who they were. I would have just kind of gotten the gist of
right.
what they did.
So definitely see Battle of the Gods just first, just so you can get understanding.
Or at least do some research on Whis and Beerus.
Yeah. All right, well, before we talk about the second film, I want to talk about this. The Eagle Theater here in Robinson, like I said, our hometown theater, these guys are great. They're awesome to us. I've said it before, it's a small-town theater with a big city feel. Of course, they don't have 40-foot projection screens, but we can live with that.
But even Tim Mattson said it was good, and he's getting a home theater right now.
Yeah, I know. He built his own theater. Anyway, but they're having an indie film fest. It starts August 21st. It runs all the way through September 17th. They're showing five indie films. They're trying to prove to the film industry that, little small town theaters can still have an indie fest. You don't have to have a big population to do that. People love films everywhere. So I was going to give a little rundown here. They have five films, 4 weeks. They're calling it Indie Fest 15, all part of the Crawford County Arts and the Eagle Theaters Indie Fest. And the schedule, each week, you can see all five movies will be showing at various times during the week. Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays is when you can see more of them. And then Monday through Thursday, they're showing two a night, two different ones. And they're also on different times so that you can actually see them back-to-back if you wanted to. If you like the indie films, this is the place to be. I'm going to first run down what they're showing as their indie films. First of all, they got The Water Diviner. The Australian man travels to Turkey after the Battle of Gallipoli. He's going to try and locate his three missing sons. This one is directed by Russell Crowe, and it also stars Russell Crowe. It is an independent film. It's put out by Warner Brothers. That's one of them. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. An awkward high school senior's mom forces him to spend time with a girl in his class with whom he has not spoken to since kindergarten. She was just diagnosed with cancer. So basically, go hang out with her. She's dying.
I hate when my mom does that.
I know, right? Again, it's an indie film. It's going to be one of those that's going to, it's going to have the feels. It's going to have the feels. Let's see. The Russell Crowe, by the way, is rated R. The Water Diviner is rated R. This one's rated PG-13. Directed by Alfonso Gomez Rejon. I've heard the name.
That is the coolest name I've ever heard.
I know, right? I've heard his name before, but I can't quite remember where, but that's okay. So that one's going to be as part of the Indie Fest. They're also going to have Far From the Maddening Crowd. It's the story of Bathsheba Everdeen, who attracts three very different suitors. This timeless story of Bathsheba's choices and passions explores the nature of relationships and love, as well as the human ability to overcome hardships through resilience and perseverance. Rated PG-13, it's directed by Thomas Vinterberg. That's the third movie in the series. They're also going to be showing Infinitely Polar Bear. This is the one that's got me. This one, if any of them that I just have to see, it's this one. And the reason being, it stars Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana, two green people from the Marvel Universe.
It stars Hulk and Gamora.
They're both green. And
man,
so...
that Infinity War is looking great.
Infinity Polar Bear.
Infinity Polar Bears.
But anyway, all right, Infinitely Polar Bear. Cameron, I'm guessing he's played by Mark Ruffalo, is a man who suffers from bipolar disorder. He's forced to leave his family and move into a halfway house after a breakdown. He attempts to rebuild a relationship with his two daughters and win back the trust of his wife, Maggie, who I'm assuming is Zoe Saldana. Directed by Maya Forbes, it's rated R. And then finally, the last movie, Dope. Malcolm is carefully surviving life in a tough neighborhood in L.A. while juggling college applications, academic interviews, and the SAT. A chance invitation to an underground party leads him into an adventure that could allow him to go from being geek to being dope, ultimately being himself.
That's pretty dope.
So it's rated R. And directed by Rick Famuyiwa. So that's the five movies that they're showing, and they're all indie films. And again, that's one of the things with this the small town theater, they don't typically get these art films and these indie films. They don't typically get those because the film distributors, they say that you have to have a certain population or you're going to... They say because the theater's going to lose money, but you know, basically, they're not going to make... Even though they're indie films, the people that are releasing these films are still wanting to make the money. So, Eric Gubelman with the Eagle Theater... said, let me prove you wrong. So that's what he's out to do. And, I mean, seriously, if you want to see all five films, it's only $30 with an Eagle Theater Indie Pass. Go to eagletheater.net/IndieFest, and you can get your tickets that way. You can stop by the Eagle Theater here in Robinson, or you can just order by mail. Eagle Theater, P.O. Box 8564, Robinson, Illinois, 62454. But I would highly recommend just checking out their website anyway, eagletheater.net. And if you do /IndieFest, you can find out more information on this IndieFest and order your tickets. I mean, they're very intriguing. That's one thing about indie films. They're not the norm, you know? It's not the stuff that's, you know... People are going to blow things up and transform into different kind of superheroes or whatever.
Well, I just recently watched, I think, an indie film. I'm pretty sure it was an indie film.
You're talking about Rubber?
Yeah. It's 1.5 stars on Netflix. Go watch it. It's worth it.
1.5 stars.
It's actually really hilarious.
No. We might talk about that here in a second. Let you give a review of that.
I'll give a review of that after yours.
All right. We'll talk about that. But yeah, check it out. EagleTheater.net/IndieFest. Or just go to EagleTheater.net and check out all the information anyway. Because, again, this is one of the coolest theaters ever in a small town. Ever. I mean, these guys know how to do it right. They've got multiplex. Yeah, they came to Robinson, a small town, and created this theater that everybody needed, and they've just been, I mean, for one thing, they've got free refills on popcorn and soda, and I've noticed now some of the bigger theaters are starting to do the free refills on soda anyway, and again, that's one of the things that keeps the people in there, and it also, they have, the people working there are just phenomenal. I mean, they're just like the nicest, first of all, hometown people, everybody kind of knows everybody, they're just really nice people, they're always doing everything to make sure your visit's good. The Gubelmans themselves just know how to run the place, they've always hired some great people there, but yeah, go to the eagletheater.net, check them out. And come on down for the Indie Fest. It should be a good time. I can't wait. I'm definitely going to see the Mark Ruffalo film, just because they're Marvel Universe actors, and I have to see that. But the story seems kind of cool.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've looked at other website designers. There's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days, free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Call 855-719-3093, 855-719-3093, 855-719-3093. That's 855-719-3093.
Nerd Up Podcast. Podcast.
All right, now let's talk about another one that, I don't know. This is the first movie Isaac and I, the first Marvel film Isaac and I didn't see on the preview night. You know, normally, you and I go, we make it a point, we have to go there as soon as they open up the film in a Marvel film. And, well...
It was a Marvel Comics film.
Yeah, well, still had the Marvel logo at the beginning. Fantastic Four. Now, I went in this thinking, you know, they didn't get the first two right. Why are they going to do it now? You know, give it back to Marvel, let Marvel do it right. But... they did some things right. They did some things not so right.
Kind of like the Amazing Spider-Man reboot.
Yeah, and it's like some of the things they got right. One of the things, though... All right, well, first of all, okay, the story. Everybody knows the story of the Fantastic Four that listens to this podcast, I'm sure. If not, let me give you a little rundown. You've got Reed Richards, you've got Sue Storm and Johnny Storm, brother and sister, and then you've got Ben Grimm. These four people... Oh, and according to the movies, Victor Von Doom, they all go into... Like in the first ones, they went into space. This one, they went to an alternate dimension, and they...
Next time, they go into the future.
Yeah, maybe. They get bombarded with cosmic rays. Again, this has been one of the tricks in the comic books, in Marvel Comics. Cosmic rays has been like the answer to everything. It's kind of like saying, well, why does Superman have this power? Because he's an alien. You know, it's like it's a standard answer. It's like... Doesn't have to make sense.
Why does Batman beat everybody else?
Because he's Batman.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, it doesn't have to make sense. It just... It's there. Now, this one, they explain that it was a forming world that they went to in this alternate dimension, and so it had some cosmic powers. And anyway, so what happens is they come back changed because of the cosmic rays. All right, so that's the general story. In this one, Reed Richards and Ben Grimm are friends from kids. Now, I don't know enough of the backstory, the early backstory of the Fantastic Four. You know, I don't know if they stayed with the comics on that one or not, but Ben Grimm and Reed Richards are friends since, like, fifth grade. Something like that.
I think it was fifth grade. I'd estimate like somewhere pre-middle school.
Yeah, pre-middle school. And then they become friends. And he's like, basically Ben Grimm is just like supportive of Reed Richards, really.
He's the assistant.
Yeah, yeah. He's the assistant. He gets him the part. The muscle, if you will. But although they don't really show him as being like a bodyguard type figure, which is kind of cool. I was afraid they were going to go with that. Like, you know, Ben Grimm was always going to be protecting him against bullies and stuff. But they didn't do that, which is good because that would have kind of been weird. But anyway, and then Reed Richards puts on this science fair where he's got this teleportation device. And the teacher ridicules him, saying, this is a science fair, not a magic show. Franklin Storm comes in. One of the leading guys at the Baxter Building. Again, they got the subtle hints about the comics that I know of. Then they build this transporter because Victor Von Doom is already their teleporter. He's already started it. Now Reed Richards is the one that actually could bring stuff back. They could send stuff, but they couldn't bring it back. So now they got it completed, and they're going to go to this alternate dimension, which Reed Richards, by the way, sent a car, a toy car, and never got it back. So why didn't they find that toy car?
I don't think he sent it. I think the toy car was like during his childhood, so I'm pretty sure. Did he say that it was sent somewhere?
Yeah, because
I thought it was just like crumbled in pieces.
No, then Ben Grimm asked, well, what's that? And he goes, it's rocks from that planet.
Oh.
So, and they're orange rocks too. Notice that. Anyway, so then they go on and build this thing, and they build it and they can transport back. Or transport a monkey there and transport it back, and all of a sudden the government says, okay, I'll contact NASA, we'll get the government working on this. I'm like, wait, no, we're the ones. And so then all of a sudden these guys that worked on it, they realize that, you know, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, they were the ones famous for the moon landing, but the scientists behind it, they didn't get the credit. So they said, we need to get the credit, we need to be the ones to do this. So they, Ben Grimm.
This is a part that you kind of missed out on. So they say that to the scientists, and then the scientists say, no, we still need NASA to do it, we need professionals. So then Victor Von Doom, he offers them a drink. You walked out on this part.
Yeah.
He's Reed Richards says, you know, alcohol kills your brain cells. Instant cut to next scene, Reed Richards is drunk.
Yeah, but Reed Richards is drunk, but he did not do the stretchy disco dance like they did in that horrible Silver Surfer. That right there took me out of that film. Ask Tim Coker, he'll tell you the same thing.
So while they're drunk, they decide, hey.
We can do it.
Yeah, we can do it on our own. We don't need their help.
So they do. And suddenly they get sober, and they all... Well, actually, they call Ben Grimm in because they need the help.
Actually, they're half sober because Reed Richards calls Ben Grimm, and then Benton's like, are you drunk? And Reed Richards says, yes, but that does not matter right now.
They get Ben Grimm to help him out, and then it's Johnny Storm, Victor Von Doom, and Reed Richards. They go to this planet. All right, here's where I got a problem. The origin story of the Fantastic Four, it's Sue Storm, Johnny Storm, Reed Richards, and Ben Grimm. They're astronauts. They go into space. They're the ones that get the cosmic rays. Victor Von Doom, from what I remember, was never in their origin story. Both runs, they've been trying to create Dr. Doom as being part of that. And so I'm like, I don't know. Again, I'm not a huge Fantastic Four fan. I do know Spider-Man tried to join with them. They got the origin story of Dr. Doom involved with this. Okay, we'll go with that. Since they did it last time, we'll see what they do. And I will say this. Dr. Doom looks pretty cool as Dr. Doom. They get the green cloak and everything. I like that.
They didn't quite get his look right, though.
No, they had his mouth, right?
Like, you know, his spacesuit melded with him.
Yeah, and instead of having to have metal to cover his skin, to protect his skin, his suit melded. But they had the mouth part right, and then with the green eyes, it was a little weird. But the green cloak, I thought the look, you know, with the cloak on, it was cool. But that's only like a couple seconds. You only see that. I'm like, what? Yeah. Anyway, then they bring them back, and the government's taken over, and the government's using their powers. Here's the deal. If you're bored at this point, so was I. They could have taken the whole... Basically, after the government does this, tries to take control of them, somehow they work into Franklin Storm gets killed, spoiler, and to where that's the reason they get together. Okay, that doesn't go with me. It's like, no, there's another reason they need to become an actual team. I mean, every time there's a team in superheroes, they have to, you know, create the fact that they all got superpowers, and then they all go their separate ways, and they come back together as a team. I don't know why they have to do that. The Fantastic Four, they worked together from the beginning to try to, you know, fix all of it. And anyway, but the government, they could have cut out the entire government aspect movie.
They could have actually cut out a lot of it, but they should have kept the first part to show that Reed Richards escaped, and then they could have kept the part where they showed that the government was using them as weapons, and then just cut out the rest exposition.
No, I still think, I think the whole government part of it was just unnecessary, and they could have realized that they could have gone after Von Doom to try to rescue him.
But they last the three dudes saw him, he fell into the green abyss. So
yeah,
but all they knew, he was dead.
They could have, you know, like maybe they got a signal. Maybe they were still, they tried to rebuild the thing. And that, you know, they, again, they could have been, I just think they could have rewritten it completely, leaving the government part out of it. And it would have been a great Fantastic Four movie. The government part bored me. I didn't fall asleep, but I heard someone talking saying that they did fall asleep during that part and didn't wake up for the rest of the movie, even through the action scenes. And that was another thing. The action, it took so long to get to the Fantastic Four and to get some action going on between them.
And it was kind of anticlimactic.
Very much, yeah, yeah. Very much so. And it was just boring. And I don't know. Like I said, I think they could have cut out the whole government aspect, and they could have made a completely different movie. And actually, if they'd have cut out the government aspect, they would have actually been as extremely close to the comics. That's my take on it. I will say this, though. A lot of people, this never bothered me, that, you know, Johnny Storm is black. Okay, that never bothered me. It's just, okay, well, the thing that confused me was Johnny and Sue are brother and sister. They protect each other. That's part of the thing. That's, you know, that's part of the Fantastic Four. I'm like, how are they going to, what are they doing? And then they explain that. She was adopted. Okay, that makes sense now. And that may, you know, they did that well. I thought they did that well.
They could have, like, handled it weirdly. Like,
yeah.
Making her his cousin or something like
that. I know, yeah. But they did it right. With the adopted, I thought that worked out good because they protect each other. They could have talked a little more about why they protect each other. But, you know, it's kind of, again, there's so much of an origin story that you really need to. Fans know it.
Well, I mean, Sue kind of has a reason because Johnny is always doing those drag races from what we can
yeah.
gather. But other than that, Johnny has no real reason.
Yeah.
Other than he's like her older brother.
Yeah, and I think, again, they did that well. A lot of people had a problem with that. Like, why is he black? And then it wasn't because he was black. It was because they're supposed to be brother and sister. I think that was the whole issue. And now that they explained it, it's like, not a problem at all. Never, you know, I would not even think of it as a problem because I can see the adopted aspect really good. So that works out. Plus, I think they did it better by not having him adopted and having her be the one that was adopted. I think
yeah.
that worked out great. It was kind of nice. We got to see the Baxter building,
yeah.
and it looks just like in the comics. I like that. But although that's not the home base for the Fantastic Four.
I haven't seen it in the comics, but I did see it in Lego Marvel, and it looked pretty identical.
Yeah. Well, it was in the Spider-Man, that old Nintendo...
Oh, and...
The old NES
yeah.
Spider-Man game.
Well,
And the PlayStation 1.
I don't remember it from that. I just remember like there being a giant building with the four as the top.
Yeah, and that's the Baxter building.
Oh.
But yeah, and so they gave some good enough hints in it. And here's the thing: no post title scenes,
credit
or post credit scenes. Post yeah, and then also No Stan Lee cameo. So, if you're looking for either of those, forget it. And if you're looking for a real Fantastic Four movie done right, forget it. It's like going to see the Terminator Genesis movie. If you're there just to watch a bunch of explosions and some action, that's what you're going to see.
Go watch a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this one, it takes so long to get to the action that it's like you may get bored before it happens. That's my take. Isaac, what's yours?
Well, I wasn't really bothered by, like, in the trailers and everything, I wasn't bothered by Johnny Storm being black. But what I was bothered by, the Thing does not wear pants.
True.
He doesn't. Like, throughout the entire movie, they don't give him pants. He's just there.
But before you go any further, one of the things I forgot, the thing about the Thing is they explained why he's rocks better than I've ever heard explained ever before. I think
same goes for Johnny Storm.
Yeah, yeah.
Explain that well, too.
Yeah, yeah. And in the first one, they showed that, I mean, even in the comics, I like this explanation of their origin rather than the comics because it makes sense. Like in the comics, it showed that Sue always was embarrassed and just wanted to be invisible. Ben Grimm was the muscle and he was always being tough, so he became rocks. Johnny Storm's a hothead, and Reed Richards is always trying to wrap him around and get him all together. So it was like that's why he's stretchy. Well, in this one,
they didn't explain Reed Richards and Sue too well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's not as well as they did Johnny Storm and the Thing and Ben Grimm. Johnny Storm, whenever they were transporting back, he was something blew
like
up.
I think it was the outside like atmosphere flames came.
Yeah,
in
flames
through the
flames came in. Yep, and then Ben Grimm, the rocks from the planet started coming towards him. And the cool thing was the planet was orange rocks, so that worked out really good. Because I thought he looked good, even though he didn't wear pants. So anyway, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They better make him wear pants next movie. But I want to continue with the origin story part of this. Like, yeah, they gave those explanations, but they just kind of showed Reed Richards. They showed that he was in the shuttle. They never explained why it was so stretchy.
Except that he was trying to reach Ben. I'm trying to fish for a reason here.
And then Sue was just like in the laboratory, so that I guess that would explain why she has a different power than Reed, because she was in the laboratory, Reed was in the machine, whatever those two
and that's
forces.
The thing. She never even went to the planet.
Maybe they just carried some kind of radioactivity.
Yes, yeah.
Combined with the machines. Science. when it finally did get to the action, that was an all right scene. Like, whenever they introduced, or not introduced, but whenever Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom, was walking through, like, all the hallways killing the people, he had the right powers. Like, he had all his sorcery and stuff.
Yep. Heads exploding.
Yeah.
That was pretty gory. I like that.
That was the part that bothered me, though. Like, that's kind of a continuity thing. He didn't do that to Reed or Johnny or Sue. Like, I would understand if he couldn't do that to the Thing, because the Thing's made of rocks, but that's the thing with all villains. They take their time. They don't do the quick death. And it's like, ha, I'm villain. I rule now.
Yeah, good point. Because, go a little deeper on that. Basically, what's happening is he's escaping from this military base, and he's just blowing people's heads up, kind of like the movie Scanners.
In Kingsman,
whenever the Thing goes off, the little explosive device.
The Valentine's
but, yeah, Day. He's blowing up their heads, and just disintegrating these people immediately. And when it comes to the battle between the Fantastic Four and Dr. Doom, he has that power. Why didn't he use it? And they don't explain why he doesn't, because he hates them anyway from the beginning. Well, except for Sue.
I would understand, I said earlier I would understand the Thing's made of rock, and Sue, he kind of, he has feelings for, but he would still kill her, so he wouldn't make it, as brutal. But he hates Reed Richards because Reed Richards, took his idea and made it right.
Yeah.
And then he just doesn't know Johnny Storm, so it's like, why not?
Why couldn't he just explode? Why didn't he? Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right on that question of it.
Speaking of the action scenes, whenever those came on, it was pretty cool. But that was only in, the last 10% of the movie,
even that much.
The fight between the Fantastic Four was pretty good for being a short fight, considering the circumstances. They showed how they worked together as a team. They showed, Sue and Reed came up with a plan because they're the brains. All in all, it was a pretty good fight scene, but, nothing to write home about.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Again, it's a good superhero movie, just good. You know, and barely makes that good point, because like I said, it was boring. It had some long, drawn out parts.
Like, even if you didn't know the origin stories, even if you aren't like a comic fan and you just went to this movie to see a movie, it's eh.
Yeah, it's still eh. Yeah, I don't know. Eventually, maybe Marvel will get back all the rights to all their properties, and everything will be.
I kind of want Fox to like combine with Marvel, maybe keep Marvel doing the movies, but like so all their characters would, with their previous movies that already happened, like Wolverine and Deadpool, they wouldn't have to do over those movies. Mm-hmm. They could just like merge them into the universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Deadpool could be breaking the fourth wall all the time, being like, "This feels slightly different than the New York I'm used to."
Yeah, well, and that's the thing with you bring up a good point. So yeah, Fantastic Four. But anyway, Deadpool movie coming out. How awesome does that look? They just keep teasing us with this thing, doing the whole complete fourth wall. The one thing, the latest trailer that came out, I gotta say this, they're using Blind Al, which is one of the coolest characters in there. I mean, other than Deadpool, of course. And they're going back to the old Deadpool comics.
It'd be cool if they're going back to, like, not old Deadpool, but they're going back to, like, middle Deadpool.
Yeah, there
because
you go.
He wasn't completely serious like he was in the first.
Yeah, when he first was at Weapon X and teamed up with Cable for the first few.
And he had those blades in his hand. Oh, wait. No, but and they also showed Colossus in the trailer, which is pretty cool. Like,
and there's another character, too, they show in the trailer. I can't remember what, but...
She's probably just one of the other mutants.
She is a mutant. She's actually in the comics, and I can't remember her name. I'm probably mad at myself.
I'm kind of disappointed they don't have Cable in the movie, though.
Maybe, if they launch this movie, great. Maybe they can get one where Cable... Because the recent runs of Cable and Deadpool are awesome. I mean, and Cable's a mutant, or they're both mutants, and I've never really been a fan of mutants.
Actually, Deadpool's a mutate.
Yeah, there we go.
Get it right.
And so they really got. I think eventually they could team those guys up if they launch this correctly. All right, well, let's talk about your cult film. That's 1.5 stars on Netflix. First of all, why'd you guys, just because it said 1.5 stars?
No, actually, I've seen like there have been plenty of posts on like Facebook and stuff that are their screen caps of Tumblr. Anyway, it's like explains. It shows the IMDb page, which is rubber, and then it shows the description. A homicidal tire named Robert uses his mind powers to blow up rabbits, birds, and humans. And that's all it gives as a description of the film.
Oh my goodness.
And I don't think this film is supposed to be taken seriously, kind of like Sharknado. It's just a film to... It's a film that's made just to be a film that you watch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think that's a low rating. People were probably taking it like it was serious.
Trying to say this is garbage. Well, yeah, it's supposed to be.
Well,
it's like Toxic Avenger. If it didn't have a cult following, people would say this is the silliest movie ever. And then yet it's still got the cult following. And I maybe...
But it's a weird film. Like, okay, so it starts off with a guy. He gets out of the trunk of a police car. He is a policeman. Somebody drives up. He gets out of the trunk. And so what he does is he gives his gun to the policeman driving, he takes a glass of water, and then he's like, he explains a whole bunch of movie scenarios, and he says, why? No reason. And then, so what happens is he says, and this is a movie dedicated to that entire point of no reason. And then he just dumps out his water, and then goes back into the trunk. And the camera pans around, and there's a whole group of people he's talking to. They've all got binoculars, and so what they do is they look through the binoculars, and that's when the movie starts, is, like, they're watching Robert do all this stuff. So, the movie starts with Robert getting up. He's a tire. He doesn't talk. It's literally just a tire, like, rolling around. And so, it starts off, he crushes a water bottle, and then he comes across a scorpion, rolls over the scorpion, and then he comes across a can. He can't crush it, so like he just like warps and moves the tire, and then the can blows up. And then basically he follows an entire he follows a car, but what happens is there's a truck on the road going, and it hits Robert. The guy goes for gas later in the movie. It goes to that scene. The guy driving the tire is getting gas, and Robert's just kind of standing there. And it's like a horror movie whenever the killer's just standing there and the person doesn't notice. except it's a tire, so he just looks at the tire and then looks away. And so what happens is Robert starts, like, moving and warping his body again. And then all of a sudden, the guy's head blows up, just like Dr. Doom was doing in this movie, just like Kingsman.
And Scanners. You need to see Scanners.
And so basically, that's like all the movie revolves around. Meanwhile, a second like plot is going on. These guys are all camping out just to watch Robert through the binoculars. And those guys are offering them food. One guy doesn't take the food, and then everybody else like dies of food poisoning in that part of the movie. And then the guy just tries to offer the guy in the wheelchair food, and he just keeps refusing and refusing and watching the movie. And so, like, the movie can't end until the last of the people are done watching, or until, like, he's dead. So, at the end of the movie, the guy tries to get a plan to, like, kill Robert by blowing him up, by making him blow himself up with, like, a mannequin with bombs strapped to it. But that doesn't work, so he just goes in with a shotgun and shoots the tire. And the guy in the wheelchair is like, wait, no, you gotta give the good ending. And then a tricycle comes out, and it's like, no, wait, the movie's not over. He's reincarnated as a tricycle. And then that's how the movie ends, is just like the tricycle blows up the guy in the wheelchair, and then just keeps going, and then as the credits are going, he keeps gathering a bunch of tires. And that's how it ends, is there's just a tricycle followed by a bunch of tires.
So this is basically, like you said, one of those movies that's just, you gotta watch it just to watch it.
Yeah, it's just meant to be bad.
And how's the acting in this movie? Is it?
It's actually pretty good acting. Like, I don't know what the lady's name is, but she's been in The Middle. She's like Sue Heck's friend. Like pointed up nose. She's been in a few things, but like I can't quite remember what it is. I'll show you later after.
All right, we'll have to know that one.
The acting's pretty good.
Okay.
It's not like terrible. They're acting as actors in the, or one of the guys is acting as actors while the rest are just viewings.
Okay. So that's Rubber. So there you go. There's our movie review podcast for you this week. So let's see. We talked about Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F. We talked about Fantastic Four. We also talked about the indie films coming to the Eagle Theater. Trust me. Go to eagletheater.net. Check it out. Great stuff. And Rubber. So, you know, I think that tops out a podcast perfectly.
Pretty much.
We got little bad, little good, little interesting, little weird. It's all there. All right, that's going to wrap up the podcast for this time around. Don't forget, you can support the podcast in many, many ways that actually support yourself. You know, go to our t-shirt shop, cafepress.com/nerduppodcast. Get some great t-shirts, coffee mugs, backpacks, satchels, all sorts of ways with the logo of Nerd Up Podcast created by Tim Coker. And trust me, these are beautiful. I've got a messenger bag, a coffee cup. You've got a satchel, and... you can bumper stickers and all sorts of cool stuff on the website, and check that out. And a little bit of it goes back to us. We just want to be able to keep the podcast going, so we need the storage space, so we got to pay for the storage space. Also, you know, if you go shopping on Amazon, click on the links on our page. You know, it helps us out. Same with the iTunes, same with any other ad you see on that page. Loot Crate, you want to become a member of Loot Crate? Trust me, you do. Some really cool stuff. And you can click on the ad on our website, nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. So all sorts of ways to support us, help us go, keep going. We just love doing this, you know, it gets a little pricey with the storage space. That's my big problem. If you want to support us, go ahead and do that. In the meantime, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter at Gil Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter at EvilBacon88.
And so that does it for the podcast this week. Once again, stay nerdy. Nerd up.
Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Ugh, boy. Whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-917-8611. 800-917-8611. 800-917-8611. Again, 800-917-8611.